This kind of thing had never happened before. Some were guessing it was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event, one of those times that you will tell the later generations about. Those times when you can say, yes, I was there. The news had gone out about the event, and people began to make plans. They showed up in the wee hours of the morning. Yes, it was October 5th, 2024, and I am talking about College Game Day making its first appearance at UC Berkeley. But to really understand the extraordinariness of this event, you need to understand the history and the context. Cal football is not for the weak of heart. They have had so many last-minute losses, so many seasons fall apart, so many games just that close. And College Game Day is a big deal. This is the Saturday morning show that has several football commentators and personalities talking through the day of college football matchups. It has been on the air since 1987, but beginning in 1993, they began to broadcast it in a new way. They moved from college campus to college campus. They would pick a particularly competitive and interesting matchup for that Saturday and then set up a temporary broadcasting booth for their two-hour show. And it was a big deal when they came to your college. The most exciting and unscripted portion of the show is always the audience. You see, they set up outside, and so everyone, students, alumni alike, are encouraged to show up and gather around and be part of the crowd. You can see them behind the stage wearing their college colors and cheering. Well, the highlight of this morning in October of 2024 was students lining up before midnight to be there when the show began filming at 6 a.m. It was still dark when they started filming. Was a sophomore civil engineer named Daniel who had been picked to kick a 40-yard field goal. Long story short, Daniel, in his slip-on van shoes, which is just perfect for Berkeley, kicked a field goal worth $100,000 in scholarship money. When you get home this afternoon, Google up Cal Game Day field goal, and you will see a lot of adults jumping around crazy when this happens. So you see, they had never come to Berkeley before this past fall. People believed that Berkeley did not have enough school spirit to support this kind of show. People also believed that the students were too smart, too studious to show up for just a fun football game. Cal does have 110 Nobel Prize winners affiliated with it, but the students showed up. The team was actually really talented this past year and were winning games. And so the word went out. College Game Day was coming to Berkeley, California for the first time ever. I do wonder what people told their kids and grandkids about being in Jerusalem when Jesus rode in on the back of a colt. Did a lot of people claim to be there? Or was it one of those secrets that you only shared with your closest friends? What stories floated around about that day? What was the feeling in the crowd? Fear? Excitement? Defiance? We hear in the gospel that Jesus is giving instructions to the disciples about what will happen. He is creating the scene and gathering all the pieces that are needed. He has instructed his disciples to go and get a colt for Jesus to ride on. And if they're asked, to tell them that Jesus needs it. In the original Greek, this also could be understood as God needs it. Jesus is claiming his divinity and setting steps in motion that will lead to Good Friday. And the scene, the context, the environment is highly charged. Pontius Pilate has come riding up from his coastal residence into Jerusalem. He's ridden in with his army to remind all the gathering pilgrims that the Romans are the military power and they will squash any that challenge this. The city of Jerusalem is swelling to close to 200,000 people, up from its usual 50,000 residents. And the people are coming to observe the Passover and celebrate a holiday that commemorates throwing off the chains of slavery from their former masters in Egypt. Yes, tensions are running high. What did these crowds around Jesus do? Before Jesus even entered the city, out in the outskirts, out east of Jerusalem, they began to line the streets and cover the dirt of the roads with their cloaks. This is what you do for a king. And they began to shout, heralding Jesus' entry and calling him a king. They were proclaiming their hopes in their loudest voices. There is a lot of yelling and cheering and chanting going on at college game day. But I think the very best part of every college game day broadcast are the signs. You see, the college students write clever signs to hold up, hoping that they will be caught by the television cameras. Sometimes they're puns, other times they're inside jokes. Some of my favorite from the Cal game day were these. I thought this was a protest. And people, you are blocking the library. So imagine for a moment, what kind of sign might be held up for Jesus? The crowds have gathered. They've lined the roads going into Jerusalem. I think sometimes we carry an image in our mind. I think artists have portrayed this sometimes as Jesus sort of being a small man, slouched over riding this small colt, sort of hiding almost. But I don't think that's accurate. Jesus was not meek. He was not trying to hide. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus knew what was happening. He had arranged the colt. He knew the people would gather, and he knew they would shout praises. And he came anyway. He had been telling his disciples what was going to happen in Jerusalem, and he came anyway. Jesus knew that this parade or protest would attract the attention of the Roman authorities, and they would be forced to act, and he came anyway. Jesus knew that the temple authorities, who were already scared and threatened by his popularity, would have to arrest him to appease the Romans. And he came anyway. And why? Why would Jesus come into Jerusalem when he knew how all of this would end? Some argue that he was fulfilling his destiny and prophecy. And I'm sure that was part of it. I also wonder if it was due to this. Hosanna, You see, the Greek and Hebrew translation is please save or save now. The Gospel of Luke that we heard today doesn't use these words, but they are in the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John. They are so deeply ingrained in our tradition of Palm Sunday. And I imagine Jesus' heart broke just a little when he heard these words. When he saw the faces of the people who so needed someone to rescue them. When the oppressed were desperate for freedom. When the poor just needed someone to help them with food and housing. When people were afraid and they needed someone to reassure them that they were not alone. I imagine that Jesus' empathy for these people who stood along the road, shouting their defiant declarations, also asking for Jesus' help. That was all that Jesus needed to hear. The plan for Good Friday was already in motion. I understand that Jesus was divine and the Son of God. But these hosannas, these spoke to Jesus' heart, his humanity, and his empathy. And so this Palm Sunday, I ask you, what do we know but need to do anyway? Where do we need to show up and offer empathy? Where might we need to share the good news of Jesus' love? What is breaking our hearts these days that we need to respond to? Where is God showing us to go? Amen.